in revival. Literally, I have absolutely seen the bottom fall out of things. And what I mean by that is, used to, churches didn't sing contemporary songs. They didn't sing them. They sung these old songs of Zion. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love him old songs. But our day and time, we're streamlined. You know what I mean? We've got, you know, we're up on the echelon and we got to keep up with the crowds. And I told my wife, we was talking this afternoon. I seen something on television, on the news. I used to pastor in Ohio years and years ago. I preached then that there's going to be a one world monetary system. That's been 35 years ago. And that we were going to a cashless society. I've seen today where, on the news, where they were... Now, I'm not trying to be ugly. If you do this, I'm not just belittling you. How many of you direct deposit your checks in the mail? You direct deposit. Do you, Brother Greg? All right, now let me tell you what I do. I refuse to do it. The Social Security Department, when I turned 62, they sent me a notice that I had to do this, that I had to. So I called them up and I said, why do I have to? It's my check. I ought to be able to burn the thing if I want to. All right, now I know that that sounds like a little thing, but I know of people that they don't get no money. What they do is they just get a statement from their employer and they put it straight into the bank. All right, now let me ask you a question. What is going to happen when we go to a cashless society, and what if all of your internet goes down? What if somehow or another, if these terrorists, if they can destroy our infrastructure, I'm talking about our power lines. People are so dependent upon Facebook. Amen, sister? I believe Brother Greg's back there. This, don't you listen to this? The post office would rather have, is it a debit card? Which would they rather have? Debit card. Now listen to that. They'd rather have a debit card. Y'all's faces are just turning pale. All right, let me tell you what I mean by that. We're going at a fast pace to a cashless society. All right, now what if I went to the bank and I asked them, what would happen, supposition, and I've got people that's known me for 35 years of my life, and I appreciate that, 40 years. And so I asked Miss Joe, I said, let me ask you something. What would happen if this bank went insolvent, and say I had $900 in the bank, and y'all closed the doors, how could I get my money, and how long would it take me to get my $900 out of the bank? Well, she told me probably about 3 months. You'd have to stand in line. Now, I don't go back to the Depression days, but did you know used to people, honestly, when banks went bottomed up, did you know people killed themselves? Honestly, they did because, I mean, they lost, they couldn't pay, they collapsed. Well, if we go to a cashless society, what we're doing is we're at such a fast pace, people, there's so many things happening that nobody's paying any attention to it. Let me show you. The more people that do something and the longer they do it, it becomes what? Accepted. Amen. And we're all slaves to convenience. Everybody's slave to convenience. How many of y'all remember a few years back banks went insolvent? There's three or four, there's more than that, banks just literally bottomed up. Well, I know they've federally got a federal guarantee on the deposit, FDIC, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, so many people, my daughter, she's a school teacher, and so I was telling her, she just direct deposits her check, right? They don't even get, all they get's a statement. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? In years gone by, people, they don't have enough cash money that would get them by. Most people just live from paycheck to paycheck. So what would happen if they couldn't pay their humongous house payment or their car payments or their... My grandpa, Brother Porter, I was raised by my grandpa, my grandma. Listen to this. He told me when I was a boy, He said credit is going to be the ruination of America. That was when I was a little boy. How many of y'all remember used to you get things 30 days same as cash, 60 days same as cash, 90 days same as cash? Well, it's not like that anymore. I know of people that's got credit cards, honestly before God, they've maxed them out and they're trying to pay the interest on credit cards. No wonder we're so stressed out. Hey, oh man, I got to get off of that. Some of y'all looking at me strange. Hey, how many got your Bibles? Hold them up. Hold them up. Thank God, right kind. It'll count. Now, I'm going to use this tonight just for what I just told you. I seen it tonight on television about going to a cashless society. All right, go to your Bible and go to the last chapter, the book of Jude, and it's only got 25 verses. In the book of Jude, in Jude chapter 1, it's only got one chapter, right before Revelation. In Jude chapter 1, in verses 18, I'm going to try my best to slow down. Look in verse 18, book of Jude. Got your place? Say amen. Okay, boy, I miss Rick tonight. I had something special just for Brother Rick. I'll give it to him. Trust me, I will. I will give it to him. I asked him, I said, we was cutting up, and I said, Rick, what do you want for Christmas? Only your two front teeth? He said, it's something about in February or something or March. So I told him, I said, I would dearly love to be your dentist and remove your two top teeth with a pair of pliers. You ought to see the expression on his face. I said, I'm just kidding. All right, book of Jude, please. Look in your Bible in verses 18. In Jude 1, verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Look in verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having not the Spirit. Now, how many of y'all got the word Spirit is capitalized? Would you raise your hand? All right. How many of you will agree with me, and it don't make no difference whether you agree with me or not, biblically, if an individual has not the Spirit of God, they're unsaved. That's as simple as I know how. It says, they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So they're not saved. Now look in verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some having compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that's spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his holy with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. All right. Why did God put those 25 verses right before the book of Revelation? Look back in verse 1, please, in the book of Jude. Jude, say it back to me real loud. The what? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified. Do y'all see that? By God, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, so verse 1 tells us that who he's writing to. Anybody here ever been audited by the IRS? Have you, sis? I tell you, I went in deep, dark depression back in the 90s. Honestly, I've been in evangelism, and just all of a sudden, they wrote me all of these terrible letters. They was going to, any kind of money that I had or checking accounts, they even threatened to take my home. They threatened to take my camper. My everything. You can't attach everything. So I found, now I ain't going to go into all this because it takes a long story. I went to Mexico and they put me in a room with this man that was with us, which was a real godly CPA. I mean, a godly man that loved the Lord and cared. He and I just hit it off. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. So we were just talking and he said, maybe I can help you. When we get back home, said, come and see me. I was going through this thing called an IRS audit. They was telling me that I owed them all this money, which I didn't owe them at that money. They taught me when I went to see the CPA who, what, when, where, how, and why. Did y'all get that? Now, if you can answer all that, who, what, when, where, and how, and why, and if you can answer that, you can get along with the IRS. But now Jude says, who, what, when, where, how, and why. Now, when you're reading the Bible, and I'm all for reading the Bible in the course of a year, I'm all for that. You know, like reading so many chapters a day, so many chapters a week, I'm for that. But master a book, who, what, when, where, how, and why. Who wrote it? Why did he write it? Where did he write it from? That will help you to understand. Now, verse 1 tells us that he's talking to them that are called, them that are sanctified, those that are preserved. Now, look down, if you would, in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you. Now, remember I told you this morning, the word brethren means out of the same womb. That's in verse 3. But now look over to verse 17, please. But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now he's talking to them that are headaches out of the same womb, them that are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now look down, if you would, in your Bible in verse 20. But beloved, building up yourselves. Three times in that chapter, he uses the word beloved. Guess what he says in verse 20? Building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. I'm not an English major, but I know what the word but means. It's a conjunction. Amen. He says, but ye beloved, he's talking to them that are out of the same womb. He says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. And then look in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Brother, that's a mouthful. To keep yourselves in the love of God. Number one, you have the world, the flesh, and the devil every day of your life to combat. Say amen. Amen. Are we going to get along tonight? I'm going to come back tomorrow night. Probably won't nobody be here, but I'll come back. All right, so you have the world, the flesh, and the devil to fight every day of your life. And they're always pulling at you. Amen. So you have the attractions of the world. You have the attractions of the world and the appeal of the world. Amen. All right, these things are always combating the child of God. You hear every God-called preacher, they beg people that are saved, them that are really, are saved by the grace of God, be faithful to the Lord Jesus. Be faithful, amen. That's one thing I can do. Moreover, it's required in a steward that he be found faithful. But how do you keep yourselves in the love of God? Look back in verse 20. How do you do that when all these things are coming against you? Anybody here outside of me, would y'all be honest? Do you ever have a problem with your family? If it ain't your in-laws, it's your outlaws. And yes. All right. And if it's not family, there's always something to take away our peace of mind, to rob us. You can get up on a level, up on a plane with the Lord. Man, we come out of a good revival last week, almost immediately, on Friday night, things just sort of went south. I know when things are wrong. Amen. The Spirit of God will tell you that. But it just seemed like something always to rob you of your personal joy. Now look back. But ye yourselves, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what I want to do tonight, is use that little phrase. He says, those of you that are brethren, keep yourselves in the love of God. I thought, how in the world do you do that? I know I'm saved, but look in your Bible. Watch this, watch. How do you do that? Most people, let me lay that over, it keeps falling. There's Carson back there. Hold Carson up for me. I remember when his mother was carrying him. Every baby that comes out of the mother's womb, does it not have a hunger? Would y'all agree with that? All right, what do you think if Carson never had a hunger? I'll tell you what you do. You're going to find out what's wrong with him. You're going to be taking that child to a doctor to find out why he does not have no physical hunger. How come it is that people say they're saved has no spiritual hunger? Now look at me, don't die on me. Matthew 5, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after God, for they shall be filled. All right, 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. All right, you're saved. Amen. When I was 19 years old, I had so many ungodly, wicked habits. Amen. But see, I got in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and I started growing in the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Now that I have a hunger that I never had before, a spiritual hunger, a spiritual hunger. Well, let's just be honest. People have got an appetite for everything other than God in this day and time. An appetite for everything other than God. How many of you have ever seen a little calf born? I want to see you raise your hand. A little calf born. All right, watch it. A little calf, it'll find the back end of its mother. It may bust its nose. Hey, look here, that little wobbly nose thing. I mean, it's little old knees going around and around. But it'll find the back end of its mother. It's got to have nourishment to grow. All right, how come it is that people, they say they're saved, but they don't have no spiritual hunger? Now, hang on a minute. Just hang on. Watch this. A whole lot of them, and I don't mean to just be so dogmatic, but there's a whole lot of people just don't know God. They're not saved by the grace of God. If you're really truly indwelt by the Spirit of God, you'll have a hunger you never had before.
Amen.
Now listen to this. But we're living in a world, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? I'll be 73. Anybody, how many of y'all born in January? Whoopee! Bobby, raise that hand. You born in January? I told him, I said, anybody born in January is of good stock. All right. I'll be 73 my birthday. Now listen to this, the reason why I'm... Did not our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, they didn't have the educations that we have. They didn't have computers that we have. They didn't have libraries on every corner, but they had a hunger for God that this generation does not have. They lived a far simpler life. They studied the Bible by an old kerosene lamp. Amen. All right, what is the difference? How come they had a hunger? How come her mama was 90 plus years old, my wife's mother, and she probably knew more about God, than I'll ever learn in my lifetime. They had what I call a practical knowledge of the Lord. Our day, and it's ever learning, but never ever come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's be honest, people today have a hunger, but not for holiness. Boy, that kills a lot of Baptists if you didn't say the word holiness. But it says, without holiness, no man shall see God. All right, you can be saved. Are y'all listening to me? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Let's go back, and I want you to watch. Write this on the Friday if you bow. I mean, set out to do what? To grow up spiritually in the Lord Jesus. Amen. I just thought about this. It came to me. How many of you, hey sis, do you spoon feed Carson? Do y'all give him them little squash and carrots and what is all? What name is some of that stuff? Right quick, green beans. You know what? When my kids was little, boy, I used to. I'd say, thank God for them bibs that had them little pockets on them. Have y'all ever seen them?
Yeah.
Everybody's here doing it. My wife, for whatever reason, she'd say, feed Kim, just a little girl sitting in a high chair. And I'd say, open wide, here we come. I'd get right to her lips and she'd spit it out. Spit everywhere. Reminds me of Baptists. We're always spitting it out, amen. I don't like that. They like something that tastes good, amen. We like something that's palatable to the mouth, amen. But what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to get you to see, it says desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. People need the right kind of a diet spiritually. I love fried potatoes, soup, beans, cornbread, garden ripe tomatoes. Everybody knows I love that. But I don't want it 3 times a day, 7 days a week. In fact, when we was growing up, soup, beans keep you healthy, amen.
Yeah.
About all we had to eat. But what I'm trying to get you to see, how come it is that people do not have the right kind of a spiritual diet, and if they grow, they're going to do what? Keep yourself in the love of God. Brother Sisson, I've seen the bottom fall out of it. I don't know what to do about it. I do know what's wrong. We have produced a bunch of mama called Papa Sent preachers. that have got jobs instead of callings. Did I say that? Don't y'all listen to the radio sometimes? My wife and I was down there and I got me a paper and I looked in the paper and it was Madam Williams. Is that what that woman was? I'd have seen it in the paper, Hope. She said, now if you have a loved one that's died and went on and you'd like to have him come back or have her come back. Then she went on to say, if you've got an illness somewhere that the doctors cannot find what's wrong with you, call this number. Now, I mean a great big ad in the paper. And I venture to say probably a lot of people called her. But ain't that awful? I hear stuff go. Let me give y'all something that'll really blow y'all circuit boards. Are y'all ready? Did you know that they polled 1,800 seminary students in Louisville? 1,800 of them. And 47% of them said that the virgin birth was non-essential for salvation. Let me run that past you again. 47% of them out of 1,800 said it's non-essential. All right, now watch this. If time goes by, them seminary students are going to be behind pulpits spreading that doctrine. Amen, Sisson. And I mean, honestly, you think I'm just being ugly. I mean, but I'm not. I'm trying to get you to see that people today, they have not a spiritual hunger about them. Now, let me go back. Look in your Bible. I'm talking about verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. All right, if you're going to do that, you better, number one, I mean, learn to grow up spiritually. I mean, guess what? Study. I mean, get alone somewhere alone. I don't know how. I love to be alone with the Lord. I love it. You can be at a steering wheel of a car, set it on cruise, and just have a spell. Amen. But I'm saying people, they don't meditate. Let me tell you what I used to do. Jess, you don't have this problem. I have to go over and check on them boys this week to make sure that I crack the whip on them. You believe that, don't you, Jesse? Used to, when I'd go to work and when I was working in maintenance years ago, I was young, probably in my 20s. Man, I'd go to work on Monday morning, and that was the filthiest mouth bunch that I worked around you ever seen in your life. They cuss all the time, rant and rave, and I ain't going to tell you some things they done to me. But what I'd do is I learned to do this. I'd go in, I'd say, boys, you ought to heard what my preacher preached yesterday morning. And I'd start in telling them. It wouldn't be long, boy, they'd just leave me alone. What I did was I'd tell them men what my preacher preached. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly. How many of y'all can remember what Brother Billy preached last Sunday? Last Sunday. Could you tell me? Ooh. Now, you just think I'm just being hurtful. I don't mean that. Biblically, what we ought to do is train yourself and discipline yourself to where that you'll remember. Amen. Rick said it this morning. Meditate on the Bible. Meditate on the message. The brother prayed. How can this help me? Give me something to take home with me. Amen. Not let it go through and just right out the other side. Amen, preacher. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now, let me show you something else. Drop down and look in verse 21. How do you do that? How do you do? Study. And the Bible says, to study, show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed. You better know the Bible. Now, I know right now some of you are going to say, Brother Sisson, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to study. Well, let me tell you what you can do. Let me tell you what you can do. You can take... And we don't memorize anymore. We don't discipline ourselves. Anybody ever had I know Hope's had it. You ever had a crash course? A crash course in anything? Folks, perk up a little. A crash course. Hope, tell them what a crash course is. Before you start there. Do what? Before you start the original. A crash course. Did you know that one day, the Bible laying on your lap, one day you're going to stand and you're going to answer for all the deeds in the body? I understand the judgment seat of Christ. I understand it. I'm saved, but every preacher is going to give an account of every message you ever preached. You're going to give an account of the deeds did in the body, whether they be good or bad. Not to be saved or lost, but you're going to give an account of what you did in your body. Then it says, save, yet so as by fire. That's the reason why you ought to memorize and study and meditate on it. Now let me show you something else. Now just stay with me. How do you do that, brother Sisson? Keep yourself in the love of God. So out to just grow up spiritually mature. The second thing, let me watch you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Then the Bible says in verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now I don't mean to just leave you out there and cut the limb off. I could probably ask you, has anybody ever got in that realm? Have you ever just got alone with God praying? Let me show you what I mean. Go to Romans 8. Let me show you. Flip over to Romans 8. I don't know if you've ever been around people like this. Man, I have. Did anybody hear of a man by the name of Mays Jackson? Never heard of Mays Jackson? Billy Kelly? See, these men, I've been around them for 40 years, back 40 years ago. They, men like Grady Lemons, he was, how old was he, honey? Almost 80? I think he was. So he's about 80 years old. That man, he honestly, for God, when he prayed, is just like talking to the Lord. Just one-on-one. Now let me show you in Romans, please, chapter 8. And everybody look in your Bible. I believe it's verse 26. I want you to get in your Bible. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also, capitalized, helpeth us with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. Isn't that a blessing? We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's what I call praying in the Holy Ghost. Very few people ever get in that realm. Usually it's brokenness. Amen, brothers and sisters. It takes brokenness to get us into that realm of where we pray literally and God just intercedes for us. Watch this. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what's in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. All right, let me stop there. Go back to the book of Jude. Where is Jesus right now? Right now. Right where? At the right hand of the Father. All right, he died on the cross for our sins, correct? He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He ascended into heaven and sat down on the right hand of the Father. What for? Yes, sir. To make intercession for us. Why do we need to be made interceding for? Hey, when God looks out of heaven, he don't see Jesse Owens. He sees the blood of his son. All right, that stays the wrath of God on him. But now guess what? When Jesse does mess up, and he does mess up, we are engraved in the palm of his hand. I mess up too. Amen. We don't just mess up. I know right away y'all flipped that switch. Well, brother, sister messes up. I didn't say I committed whoredom, get drunk. I didn't say I shot nobody, killed nobody. I've wanted to a few times. But I've not done. But I'm just saying, we're engraved in the palm of his hand. God chastens us. Do y'all understand that? God deals with us as a son. Amen. And guess what? The devil would he'd destroy every one of us. But see, Jesus intercedes for us. He pleads our case. He's our advocate. Now let me show you. Now watch this. Watch. And by the way, you better learn to settle this case out of court and not let it go to the chief judge. Go back to the book of Judge, ain't that pitiful. The book of Jude. Hey, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? Set out to be spiritually mature. We all need that. Number two, learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Look in your Bible. Verse 20 says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you know that we're to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brother kindness, charity? We're to add them things to our faith. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. And I believe that's a lifetime process. I believe we more excel in certain areas than others, but we're to pray in the Holy Ghost. And let me show you. Now watch this. Most of our prayers are most of our wants and our own wishes. Rick said it this morning. That's correct. Most of us don't even really pray till the bottoms fill out of everything. That's when we really get a hold of God. Third thing, then, I want you to watch this. Watch. Do you live expecting the Lord to come? Let me show you. Now watch this. And he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I already have that. I already have eternal life. It's just not And it is a completed thing. But when Jesus comes, it's going to be finalized. Does everybody understand that? If he is to come right now, he's coming after what? Blood washed. I wish y'all would get off that Valium. Jesus, when he comes, he's coming for the blood washed. He's going to take every saved person out of here. I don't know if you live expecting him to come, but I do. I try to, honestly, and I fail miserably, but I live expecting Jesus to come. I try to study. I want to show myself approved. But listen to this. Current events and all this stuff, Daniel says in Daniel 12, knowledge shall increase. Many shall run to and fro. They'll be heady, high-minded, proud, lovers of... Look, can I, would y'all, and I'm not trying to be ugly. Was it Thursday night when we had all that big crowd and that girl came? I want you to listen to this. They are browbeating us to death, television and this world system, trying to get you and I to accept lesbians, homosexuals as a norm. They're doing it. They're browbeating us. Television programs, commercials, everything in the world. All right. Thursday night had a big crowd at this church, a pretty good sized church. They was an individual come in, and I've known her since she was like this. Look here, like that. And now she's a grown individual. She wants everybody to call her a he. I refuse. She's taking hormone shots and taking all kinds of stuff to be a man. And she looks like a man. But see now, we're in this generation to where that role reversal. Men are like women. Women are like men. Did I say that? All right, now watch this. In Luke chapter 22, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, we've already superseded them 2 days. In our culture, God help us, say amen to me. Amen. Churches, they're ordaining them. They're ordaining. And I know, I'm not trying to be ugly, Hope. I am not doing that. If you could see this individual, I preached to them. I mean, her mom and dad got her to come, even though he says it's a he. He's the male part of this relationship with another woman. And honestly, hair tapered in the back over the ears. I mean, you would have thought that it was a man. It's, what is that? What is her name? It's leaving me. Her, what's her name? Nicole. What? Nicole. Is it Nicole? You know who I'm talking about. But my heart breaks for her. Do you understand what I'm saying? And yet everybody says, I do love Nicole. I care about her. But the power of God's the only thing that can change her life. But I'm trying to get you to see the world is pressing us into a mold to accept that as a lifestyle. And preachers ain't got enough backbone to cry out against it. All right, now watch. That's one of the earmarks of the coming of the Lord. Are y'all listening? That's one of the earmarks. Shoot, I'd give anything if all of them would come. I'd preach to them, tell them the truth. Everybody thought, boy, the Spirit of God was so rampant that night. Hey, we thought that just maybe this is going to be the night that God broke her heart. Her mama says she don't even want to be called Nicole. That's her name. She don't want to be called Nicole anymore. She's taking steroids and everything in the world to become a man or to look like a male. Say amen to me.
Amen.
But we got television programs glorifying that lifestyle. And they're, how many of y'all have ever seen a Play-Doh? Have you ever seen the little Play-Doh things that's got all the interchangeable? Have you, Brother Greg? You change the little thing inside there and take the Play-Doh and you push it down and it'll come out whatever it's got, whatever shape and form. That's what the world's doing, is making us pliable, putting us in it and trying to mold us to their standard of living. I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. Hey, look here. I know y'all don't believe this. I know you, well, I guess you do believe it, but I'm talking about churches now. They're ordaining women, lesbians, homosexuals. God help us, amen. Y'all ever think what's going to happen to little old Carson? I mean, if the Lord don't come, what's going to happen to these children? Let me go back now. Watch it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Look for Jesus to come any moment, amen. And he could. Whoopee. Y'all don't ever get excited about nothing, do you? Boy, let spring come. Let spring come and y'all start looking for yard sales. Look at them. Everybody's nodding their head in the affirmative, trying to find them goodbyes. Well, I even like them myself, but look here. I love spring. Guess what I done Thursday night? I think it's Thursday night. Hang on a minute. Watch this. Did God not make the four seasons? Okay. What triggers the sap to go down in a tree? The sap goes down in the winter or in the fall, don't it? Why y'all been looking at me like this for? What triggers it to go down? Huh?
The cool weather.
Well, all right, who controls the cool weather? All right, now watch this. Watch. Exactly on time, it starts going down. Am I right? Right or wrong? This spring, hey, we may have a terrible winter as of yet because it ain't over yet. But guess what it'll do? I know the earth turns on its axis. I understand all this. I understand that. But I'm saying the sap goes down and exactly on time, it starts coming back up. Glory. Exactly on time, Jesus will come. We get around springtime, I get thinking about it more because that's when everything comes alive. I tell them I have a great big old pin oak tree in my front yard, and it'll hold the leaves on to almost spring. But guess what? When the sap starts coming up, the leaves will fall off. Y'all ain't getting nothing. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Hey, expect Christ to come any moment. Just don't that. And look here, don't stray too far from that. I mean, just expect him to come and make you treat people better. Amen. Make you keep your own life right. Now watch this. Expect him to come at any moment. How many of y'all remember the Twin Towers in September the 11th, wasn't it? The Twin Towers? How many of what's been 13 years ago? Everybody thought, this is probably, we're on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. How many years has it been? 13? Has it been 16? Okay, my opponent, the reason why I bring that up is, we ought to expect him to come. Every time we have a crisis, people get more, they get more centered thinking about the coming of the Lord. They do. Out there, that mudslides in California, the fires and floods and all that. All right, everything is conjunction with the coming of our Lord. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Look for Jesus to come at any time. You won't go to the divorce courts. You won't be lazy, sorry. Amen. You'll be motivated. Let me show you one other thing. Now watch it. Expect the Lord to come at any moment. Now watch this. Watch, watch. Some have compassion making a difference, and others say with fear pulling them out of the fire. I wonder, let me ask y'all a question. How many of you, now that you are saved, you know that somebody prayed for you before you got saved? They stood in the gap for you, right or wrong. Look in your Bible. We can't save them. We can't save them. But I don't even find people even are burdened anymore for lost souls. Boy, I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Amen. Right. Dear Lord Jesus. Shoot. Hey, folks, it says, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. My brother, my only brother, he lived in Arlington Heights in Ohio. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, these people had moved in this big two-story house on the other side. Fire trucks came and everybody and their brother, and they had people on the upper floor, and the house was totally engulfed in flames. The kids came to the windows, and they tried to get them to jump, and they couldn't go up the stairway, so the kids turned and went back. And they found their little bodies in a closet, just incinerated. The ones that were saved jumped out of the windows. And I thought to myself, it says pulling them out of the fire. If we somehow or another could get a visual of people dying, going to hell, just maybe we'd be more holier than what we are. Maybe we'd be more Christ-centered. What do you think? People don't have a burden for people anymore. Churches don't. Individuals don't have. And I think about God, help us, amen. It says, keeping yourself in the love of God. I can remember, Porter, I can remember used to people would get on the altars and they'd be puddles of tears. Used to, if you said, pray for my brother, my husband's not saved, or my wife's not saved, my children's not saved, it would break everybody's heart in the whole building. Yep. Now then you get to the invitation, everybody's putting their coats on, getting ready to go home. There's no burden. But if you're going to keep yourself in the love of God, this is what you're to do. Set out to just grow up spiritually mature. And then guess what? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Constant contact with the Lord. And then expect the Lord to come at any given moment. And do everything you can to keep people out of hell. The happiest you'll ever be in your life is others. O-T-H-E-R-S. Others. Somebody cared about you. Jesus cared so much he went to the cross and died. Hallelujah. And guess what? Used to, well, that was the number one concern upon people's lives, is getting others to the Lord Jesus. That's the key. It's not giving them a more stable income. It's not putting them in a bigger house. You know what I seen the other day? And I guess y'all are going to think that I'm just terrible. I am for helping people. But I am against, with a passion, 4 and 5 generations of welfare. I see where they're going to try to change it. That if you are healthy and you have on your own Medicare or Medicaid, whichever one it was, and you're healthy and you can work, they're going to do away with your Medicaid, the insurance part of it. Is there any reason that a person to be productive and to 3 and 4 generations on welfare? I remember used to people take pride in, they would dig ditches. I can remember when I was a little boy, it ain't like it is now. But it's a whole lot easier just to be takers. Takers. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. But the happiest you'll ever be in your life is others. You know what let's do? It says keep yourself in the love of God. Boy, I hope this touches your heart. Let's stand if you would please. Father, I love you. And God, please, Lord, help me apply this burning in my heart. God, people, Lord, are lost, are going to hell. God, sometimes we're the only light they'll ever see. Help us to be a light to a darkened world. Bless these dear people. Help them, I pray, to center their attention upon the coming of our Lord. And then, Lord, intensify the hunger that's in our heart. Please bless Brother Billy and his people. God, for be here one unsaved, finger around that heart and draw them. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.